This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. The day you've all been waiting for. Welcome to Elimination Day in New York City. And I'm not just talking about the Knicks eliminating the Pistons. Tiki's Devils may face elimination tonight as well.
Field of Dreams is calling. That's the whiskey, by the way, that Evan and Sean and Loogie got me for my birthday.
That's your, we just got eliminated, let me drown my sorrows whiskey. We will get to the New York Knicks in a minute. We will get to the football, including how the Giants will handle Jackson Dart. And we got baseball to get to. The Yankees trying to bounce back off a loss from last night. And is it possible that Steve Cohen would extend Pete Alonso in the middle of the season? We have the answer, and we'll explore it coming up shortly. But tonight at Madison Square Garden is very, very, very important. It's very important, and I actually wrote this down, Tiki, for three reasons. Three important reasons why the New York Knicks need to close out the Detroit Pistons tonight. No questions asked.
Did you label it very, very, very important or just important?
I put down three verys.
Oh, nice.
Three verys.
Oh, you were serious then.
I am serious. Now, look, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that if the Knicks lose this game tonight, they're going to lose the series. But I'm telling you, you tread on dangerous waters if you lose this game tonight. Let's start with number one. Number one, this is a mucky series. This is a dirty series. This is an ugly series.
Right, just like J.B. Bickerstaff wants it to be.
Absolutely. And also, let's be honest, I know the Knicks are up 3-1, and that's all that matters. It's a very close series. Very close series. This is a series in which a lot of these games could have gone either way, including Game 1 when the Knicks had that incredible 21-0 run. Like, the Pistons outplayed them for three-fourths of the game.
Right.
So this is a very tightly contested battle, and if you let things get dicey, and you let it get back to Detroit, and you let the whistles maybe impact you, which at times it did, in the third quarter of Game 4, you put yourself in a spot where all of a sudden 3-1 can spiral. Don't let a close series become even closer.
Right. That's the biggest, I think, worry if you're a Knick fan. Maybe if, even if you're a Knick player. Is because I think the Pistons, despite being down 3-1, believe that they are the better team in this series. I think when you listen to some of the things that J.B. Bickerstaff says, like, who was that? The Hugh Douglas? Was it Hugh? Who was the head coach that was saying, we are what they thought they were?
Dennis Green,
saying, we are who they thought they were. I think that's what J.B. Bickerstaff is saying about the Knicks. And that's not a compliment.
Right.
He's being derogatory towards a team that he's down 3-1 to. And so their mind tells them, we're better. We just haven't played well enough to beat them. And all it's going to take is a win on the road, and then it comes back to Detroit, even though they haven't won there in 20 years. But still, it goes back to Detroit, and then anything can happen once when you get to Game 6.
You let things get dicey.
Right.
If you're the New York Knicks, you can't let it get dicey tonight. Number two, I posted this picture on social media 35 seconds ago, so you can play along if you're able to on your phone, or I'll describe it to you. I tweeted out just a very simple thought that says, the real reason the Pistons lost. Mm-hmm. And no, I didn't include a foul call that the NBA confirmed they should have called with a 2 minutes report that came out yesterday. I'm not bringing that up anymore. We all move on. I bring up the fact that Cade Cunningham had a pretty damn good look to take the lead with about 8 seconds to go.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham, missed from the free throw line?
Basically, yes. He created separation against OG Anunoby. He had a wonderful look. He got to his spot on the floor, and he flat out missed. Cade Cunningham is a brilliant young player who's not there yet.
Yeah.
He's not Jalen Brunson. Like, the biggest difference between Cade Cunningham and Jalen Brunson, really the biggest difference between a lot of people and Jalen Brunson, the biggest difference, I'm about to be a troll, Sean Morash, the big difference between Jalen Brunson and Aaron Judge is that Jalen Brunson is not just clutch. That would be an understatement. He's insanely clutch. He is arguably the most clutch player in the NBA today, and there's data to prove it.
That's why he's king of New York.
That's why he's king of New York!
Well, be clutch enough to beat the Celtics then.
Okay. Oh, we're working on it. All right, they're working on it. I shouldn't say we. Cade Cunningham isn't there yet. But if you allow Cade Cunningham to have a moment at Madison Square Garden, which he is more than capable of doing, if that jumper that didn't go down in game four goes down in game five, if that turnover that was forced by Josh Hart against Cade Cunningham doesn't happen in game five, like it happened in game four,
right,
and he drives successfully to the basket and he gets this loud, raucous N1 at Madison Square Garden, everything changes. He is a growing young player, and if you give him enough success, and if you give them enough success, you opened up Pandora's box where things become very dangerous.
Right. It's the last thing you want is the same thing that happened with the 76ers a year ago, where Tyrese Maxey went bonkers, and then he had to go back to Philly, a game which we all attended, and Sean almost got beat up by FOMO Cheeks. But we had a good time watching the 76ers fans roll out of that arena. But I don't think Knicks fans want to go to Detroit.
Well,
so end it right now.
I was thinking about this. I know that I am the president of the Coalition of Knicks Haters, but I am a New Yorker, and I'll do what's right. Unfortunately, if the Knicks can't close it out tonight, we got to do what we did last year, which means the four of us
come on,
have to take care of business in Detroit.
What
and
is
I don't want to go.
What game is that?
That would be Thursday night game six.
Thursday night game. Yeah.
Exactly what happened. Last year was a Thursday night game six.
I was going to say, I thought it was going to be over the weekend. I'm like, oh, sucks. I'm in Orlando for a cheer competition.
No.
Sorry, guys, can't make it.
No.
Thursday, I can make it.
Unfortunately, we are going to have to take matters in our own hands. So that's number two. You don't let Cade Cunningham and the Pistons gain confidence. But I'm going to give you number three. And I have tried to avoid doing this for the last week and a half, but I got to be real. I got to look at the big picture. The Boston Celtics are banged up. The Boston Celtics, and I've watched their series closely against the Orlando Magic. Game four was winnable for Orlando.
Yeah.
That series could have easily been 2-2. Drew Holiday is dealing with a hammy. Jason Tatum is playing injured. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown is playing injured. Kristaps Porzingis had the blood incident from a couple of games ago. If you are the New York Knicks and you want any chance in hell to knock off the Boston Celtics, you know what you need to do?
Get them when they're hurt.
Get them when they're hurt and get it done quick.
Right.
Get the Pistons done so you can also recover. So you can sit down and chill. So you don't have to deal with the possibilities of craziness in a game six in Detroit where Jalen Brunson turns his ankle the wrong way. Like, it is important, big picture important. Sean will remember this as a Ranger fan. Remember during the Torts era where you guys kept playing game sevens?
Oh, yeah.
And eventually it wore you down.
Mm-hmm.
Out of gas.
If the New York Knicks are going to beat the Boston Celtics, and dare I say, beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, who look like a machine,
yeah,
annihilating the cultureless Miami Heat by 90 points.
Right. Maybe they were coasting, too, at the end of the regular season.
Maybe we shouldn't have allowed the Heat to the playoffs. How about that idea?
No, I'm just saying. It's both these teams. We talked about Boston just chilling at number two. Eh, they're just coasting in. They're fine. They're better than the Cavaliers. Cavaliers were probably just chilling, too.
Oh, they were chilling. All right.
That was a destruction. That was embarrassing.
It was, but you know what that was? That's what the Knicks have to channel tonight.
Mm.
Now, I get it. The Pistons are a better team than the Miami Heat, but you need to channel that you smell blood. Finish the job.
Yeah, the first two, I completely agree with you on. The third one, which is important because obviously the Celtics are banged up, is one you can't even think about, though. That's not one that can enter the psyche of any player. Ah, we got to get this done so we can get to the Celtics. Like, if you start doing that, that's when you take your eye off the short-term prize, which is getting to the second round, and you end up thinking ahead, which causes you to lose in the near term. So I agree with you. You're right. But it's not one you can talk about.
No,
for the Celtics is one you just can't bring to the fore yet.
For the players, you're right. But for you who is going to Madison Square Garden tonight, or for you who's going to your buddy's house to watch Game 5, or for you who's going to watch it with your boyfriend or girlfriend, know in the back of your mind that while you do have a safety net of a Game 6 and a safety net potentially of a Game 7 in your own building, if you want to go on the deep run that you still dream of, it is essential that you get this thing done right now. Don't make that trip to Detroit. Don't get on that plane. And don't allow the physicality of this series to cause, what's that word that you use, Loogie, to excuse your season?
Attrition.
Attrition. Don't allow attrition to beat you. If you beat the Pistons tonight, you know what you do to attrition, Tommy? You stick them in the corner.
You stomp a mud hole in them, one would say.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's what you got to do. And that's why tonight is such an important night.
Right. If both games close out, both series, I should say, close out with tonight's games, Detroit and, or New York on Detroit and Boston on Orlando. When will game one be?
Well, we don't know, but my speculation would be Saturday or Sunday, that they would probably give them a few days and then start this thing over the weekend.
Right.
So you wouldn't gain any advantage if Boston closes their series out
but
tonight.
Ideally, you want Orlando to steal one.
Damn right!
Get them to a game six, and then it probably kicks into the next week.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah, well, or it could push back. Maybe it still may push to the same day, Saturday or Sunday, but you're forcing the Celtics to have to play another game.
Right, right.
And the Celtics are not a fully healthy team. So I think big picture, A, don't allow this mucky series to get muckier. B, don't give the Pistons any more confidence than they already have since they've gone toe-to-toe with you through these four games. And C, if you want a shot to beat the Boston Celtics, you got to get it done quickly. You cannot let injuries affect you. Injuries to Boston evens it out a little bit.
Yeah, I hear
Drew Holiday being banged up evens it out a little bit. You can't have your guys affected greatly by injuries.
This is why the postseason gets so interesting, because if you're the Knicks and the Knicks fan, you're looking at the last two games as the most important games. Series tied 1-1. Game 3 is of utmost importance. You're up 2-1 now. Game 4 is of the utmost importance, because to go back to even just makes it a series, a three-game series. But to get up 3-1, you're obviously in the clear. But now you're here in game 5. It's almost exactly the same.
Right.
Right. The urgency for the last three games has been there for the Knicks fan and for the Knicks, because the last thing you want this thing to do is be extended, especially with Jalen Brunson battling some injury. I mean, all these guys had some kind of nick throughout the regular season, and maybe it shows somewhat, but you just want it done and to chill so you can get ready for the next series.
There is a fourth reason. A fourth reason I didn't bring up, but I will bring it up now.
Very, very important.
Very, very, very important. You people, and I'm talking to you Knicks fans.
Let's go Knicks.
I know you people.
All of you Knicks fans out there, you orange and blue fanatics. I may have called you an inappropriate name yesterday. I think it was whiny and then a word that started with the letter B. But I do respect all of you. I do. You're diehard fans. You're New York fans. And here's the other reason why tonight is so important. You deserve better. This is a franchise.
What do you mean?
I'm going to tell you. I dealt with this as a New York Met fan. Do you remember what I said to you as the Mets got set to take on the Philadelphia Phillies in the National League Divisional Series? I said, we as Met fans deserve to celebrate at Citi Field. We haven't done it. And that was a true story. The Mets had never celebrated at Citi Field until they won the Division Series against the Philadelphia Phillies. All their celebrations occurred on the road. When they made the playoffs, road. Wild Card Series against the Brewers, Pete Alonso game, road. Win the NL pennant in 15, road. Win the division series against the Dodgers, road. I can keep going. It was all on the road. And I said, Teak, we deserve a raucous celebration. Well, it's your turn, Knicks fans. Because in 2024, just a year ago, you played a Game 5 at Madison Square Garden with a chance to shut down and eliminate the Philadelphia 76ers. And they blew the game.
Yep.
I mean, it could have turned into an epic, epic collapse. It didn't, give the Knicks credit. But that was the Tyrese Maxey collapse game. Go back to 2013. Your opportunity before that to close out a team at Madison Square Garden. You were up 3-0 on the Celtics. You lost Game 4 in Boston and then lost Game 5 at Madison Square Garden. You walked out of the Garden thinking, oh my God, we're going to blow a 3-0 lead to the Celtics? Go back earlier to 2001. That was another opportunity to close a team out. You played a winner-take-all Game 5 against the Toronto Raptors at Madison Square Garden, and you lost. You go back even further. 2000, second round, game six, chance to close out Pat Riley and the Miami Heat. And what'd you do? You lost game six. Now, the good news is you won game seven. They have lost four consecutive closeout games at Madison Square Garden. They have not closed out an opponent in the postseason since 1999.
At home, you mean?
At home.
Yeah.
So I do actually say this with respect. I don't say this with sarcasm because I try to call it like it is. You guys deserve a chance to celebrate an advancement. I know how it felt for me and Tommy to be at Citi Field this past year. It's the first time we got to experience that. Not quite as long as the Knicks, but in a long damn time. And so that's the other thing that matters. Madison Square Garden deserves a chance to celebrate. And tonight is your night, bro.
That will be short-lived because the first thing you're going to do the next day is start thinking about the Boston Celtics. So, yes, I hear what you're saying. But I think last year, even though it was on the road, it was down in Philadelphia, it kind of felt like a New York celebration. Now, I didn't hang around. You and Sean hung around, right? You guys stayed?
Oh, yeah.
So you guys hung around
until
afterwards.
About 2 a.m.
Until they literally threw us out.
Yeah, exactly. So I bounced, really. I just got my car and left. But it felt like there was a celebration happening in Philly last year. I know it was not home, but it kind of felt like
it's
home.
Close. It was close.
It was close.
It's its own kind of special. So obviously I was in Philly, and then I was at Citi Field. Philly was special, but Citi Field was even more special because there were just, frankly, more Met fans, if that makes sense. There was amount of Knicks fans, but Citi Field was all Met fans.
Oh, they definitely hijacked, first of all, the arena, and then obviously the celebration afterwards. I'm sure it'd be epic if it was all, but it wasn't bad because Philly's close, and Philly fans didn't care, so they sold all their tickets.
It was different. Yes. That would be the way I would describe it. And in many ways, it is better, like Tommy said, because as a Jet fan, I'll give you this experience. Winning and knocking out and destroying the Indianapolis Colts, 41-0, the most famous 41-0 game in New York football lore.
Not quite.
When they knocked out the Colts in the last home playoff game the Jets have ever played, versus going to Foxborough, versus eliminating Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and the New England Patriots. Like, celebrating in your own building is euphoric.
Yeah.
Celebrating on the road is a different kind of special. So I can't say one's necessarily better than the other, but I can say that Madison Square Garden, as it's aptly called, the world's most famous arena, deserves this moment. It really does. And by the way, I apologize. I forgot a game as I went through this whole thing. I forgot the most recent game. It wasn't Philadelphia game 5 last year. It was game 7 against the Pacers when they lost to attrition.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I forgot that because I don't know why I forgot that,
yeah,
Tommy.
But they didn't win.
No, that's my point. They are on a losing streak of closing out games.
That game really never even took place.
Oh, you don't want to count it?
Nah.
No, I mean, Jalen Brunson went out early. It was just like, yeah, this game's over.
They were down by 20 when Jalen went out.
We all turned it off.
Attrition
I didn't see it, so I don't think it happened.
So, including that game last year, it is 5 consecutive closeout games at Madison Square Garden that the Knicks have lost. Mm. Game 7 against the Pacers last year, Game 5 against Philly last year, Game 5 against Boston in 13, Game 5 against the Raptors in 01, and Game 6 against Miami in 2000. That's actually insane. And that's why, along with all the basketball reasons and the rest reasons, you people deserve it. And there's no troll here. Like, I felt this 6 months ago with the Mets. You deserve this.
I don't know how to actually take this.
I'm being real.
You're being real, but you're talking about 25 years.
I know.
It's over 25 years, but it's only 5 instances. So it's like, wait, is he saying this because he's trying to troll? You only had 5 opportunities to close out at home over the last quarter century? Or are you saying this because you actually believe that it's true? Knicks fans should celebrate.
I'm saying it's the bottom line. Mm. Bill Clinton was president. It was before the millennium changed. I was in high school. Loogie had never seen a girl naked. Like, it was
what year?
You were in the NFL.
Fact check that one.
And I think you still had fumbling issues. Like, think about how long ago that was.
99.
Did you clear that up by then?
No.
Oh.
No,
you remember that? You remember that 2002 finale?
It was 04.
Oh, sorry about that. So,
yeah, exactly.
It's a long time ago, is my point. And tonight at Madison Square Garden, that can all change. Mm. We'll get to your calls coming up.
The Knicks are going to kick ass tonight?
I think so, actually. I think that out of Pele's audio clip does fit how I feel about tonight.
Let's go, Knicks.
But that does not fit how I feel tonight. I hope you don't get what you people deserve tonight. But we'll get to your calls. It's Game 5 Elimination Night at Madison Square Garden. 888-808-1019. Plus, Tiki Barber allows me every once in a while to call a timeout. He calls it a Brooklyn Nets timeout, where I only get 30 seconds to give an opinion about my crappy basketball team.
Yeah, when we started negotiating this, it was originally 90 seconds. I said, yeah, this might be a little bit too long. So we kicked it down to a minute. I said, no, that's even too long. 45, too long.
That's right.
30 seconds.
And I have not used it yet. I plan on using my Nets 30-second timeout today, and you don't want to miss it. It could also be the end of the New Jersey Devils. They're playing Game 5 tonight down in Raleigh against the Carolina Hurricanes. We'll get into the baseball a little bit later on as well, including the possibility of Steve Cohen extending Pete Alonso in the middle of the season. But, Nick fans, how are we feeling tonight? Do you feel the urgency of the moment that I feel that it is very important for a myriad of reasons to get this done tonight and not let this series go back to Detroit for what could be an ultra-physical and dangerous Game 6 on Thursday night? The only good thing I'll tell you is reinforcements are coming if you lose tonight. We will go to Detroit. I'm already looking at tickets. We will get it done. The only question is, drive or fly?
I mean, flying is easy. Driving feels like the real commitment.
Yeah!
Driving feels like you mean it.
It feels like you really mean it.
Exactly.
Now, here's the
How long is it again?
It's about 10 hours. It's not too shabby.
That's not bad.
Now, we do have one issue, Teak. We get along very well, but we have one conflicting interest.
Which is?
I need to be on top. I need to drive.
No chance.
So we got to take two cars?
We definitely do.
We got to split the baby.
There's no way I can let someone else drive for me.
So but then
I feel like the last person that drove for me was my mom.
Oh, wow. That's
serious. Maybe my brother. Because we drove to Florida after he got drafted by the Buccaneers.
Right.
We got a car and we drove to Florida.
That's cool.
You know what the crazy thing is? We barely stopped to switch drivers.
Wow.
Like we just hold onto the steering wheel, put it in cruise control.
Wait, what?
Jump over into the, and I'm not even joking. Like jump out of the seat, hold the steering wheel, and he'd slide over.
For those listening, do not try that at home.
It was awesome.
Do not try that at home.
It's amazing what you could do before the 2000s.
Let me ask you this question, and don't let them answer because they're going to give their little answers. I want your answer. If you had to pick who drives shotgun with you, Tommy Lou Gower or Sean Morash, who do you pick? It's your choice.
I think Sean.
You pick Sean?
Yeah.
Why?
Could you at least think about it?
Yeah, because I think Lugie's going to fall asleep.
Oh, you think he's a sleeper?
Yep.
And you don't want a sleeper?
No.
Well, that makes Lugie perfect for me because I want him to fall asleep. Well, I don't want to deal with this.
Sean, you're riding with me?
Tommy, I'm giving you a tranquilizer before you get the car.
I actually think if I rode with Tiki on that longer ride, I'd walk out of that car a changed man. I think I'd learn everything. We'd have science podcasts going on. There'd be anything in the world going on.
I was at Nicole's house the other day. She had some friends over. We got into a science alien discussion.
No.
They were like, oh my God, you're smart about this.
And Nicole is snooky by that time.
Exactly.
All right, well, hopefully we don't have to worry about this issue because if the Knicks close down tonight, we're not talking about going to Detroit. We're talking about going to Boston.
Mm.
Now, let's get your calls, 888-808-1019. I know this gentleman, and I'm going to let him start it off because he has an issue with Tommy, a major issue with Lugie. So Stan in Westport, Connecticut, state your case against Tommy, and hopefully he gives you a good response.
Hi, guys. Listen, Knicks fans since 69, I've seen a ton of no calls, bad calls, and things that have really destroyed the Knicks. And there is such a thing as payback. However, for Tommy to do a victory lap after that abomination and travesty that went on in Detroit at the end of that game is the worst karma in the world. And I'll tell you, there's two practical things. First off, if you are good and you're a three and they're a six, you're supposed to relish 2-2 to beat their butts. You don't need a gift, number one. Mm. Number two, the karma of this will not bode well, in my opinion.
What victory lap did I do, Stan, by the way?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Tommy, what'd you do?
Okay, you were on X saying how great it was.
You mean Twitter, because it's not X, right? I was on Twitter, you're saying. I wasn't celebrating that much.
Right. Well, you did a little too much. Remember, Goodfellas. Nah, you did a little.
No, Stan, I'm allowed to celebrate a victory. I don't like the discourse of crying to me, where Knicks fans are still. And I love Ben Stiller, but let it go and going back and forth with the call. I celebrated the victory and I moved on. I thought I was actually being a rational, good Knicks fan.
Okay, but here's the problem, Tommy. The refs, now the league officially called this out, right? The refs are going to favor the Pistons in
our
house.
Every series, because after Tibbs did it, after, this has been going on since Phil Jackson. If you lose and you don't get the calls, you cry and you get the calls in the next game.
Thank you.
Doesn't matter what I do on X.
Thank you,
and by
Stan.
The way, Twitter, not Ecstasy.
You're right, not Ecstasy, just Twitter.
Stan, yes. The way he said that. Here's the problem, Tommy. I was like, wow, that sounded like a movie quote.
I'm looking over both shoulders when I leave work
exactly.
Today.
He said something very powerful, and I think back to 1994. So in 1994, the New York Knicks were helped in defeating the Chicago Bulls.
Were helped
in defeating the Chicago Bulls by a horrific call by Hugh Hollins. Mm. Okay? That is, it's marked in NBA history. And no matter how diehard of a Knicks fan you are, you will always go back to the Hubert Davis, Scottie Pippen situation and say, we got one. Mm. Okay? Fair enough. Does anyone think, though, that call going your way created the bad karma of losing in the NBA Finals to the Houston Rockets?
No, the Rockets were just better.
Right. So the one thing I'll disagree with him about is, yes, the Knicks got a break. They certainly did. And the NBA confirmed it with the 2-minute report. Not that that's a surprise, since they already admitted they missed the call. Sure, they got a break. But does anyone think that's going to lead to the bad karma of the Knicks losing, whether it's in this series or in a future series?
No, and I also disagree with him when he said you should want to be tied in the series instead of being up 3-1 because you got a gift. I'm sorry. How much losing have we gone through with our sports teams? Your team loses 99% of your sports life. That's even if you root for the Yankees.
Right.
You take whatever you could get and you run with it.
No, you definitely make them beat you 3 in a row.
Yeah.
That's what that
doesn't matter how you get the win.
Take the victories however they come. Do not qualify wins. I said that on the Rico about the Mets. I'll say it about the Knicks. I'll say it everywhere. Wins are wins. Now, we can look at the concerns and kind of look under the hood, if you will, at things that need to be fixed. That's totally fair. But don't qualify wins. You won. You're up 3-1. The Mets are 20-9. It is what it is. Pete's in Seaford. Good afternoon, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Evan, I totally agree with you. You have to end this tonight. Boston is hobbled. You know, we are so deep in the Pistons' heads right now. They have blown 4 fourth-quarter leads. Even in Game 2 that the Knicks lost, they were down, 8 or 9 in the fourth quarter before they came all the way back to tie that game, before the Pistons ultimately prevailed because the Knicks went away from their offense. We have owned this team in the fourth quarter. You have Bickerstaff taking the podium into every game saying, well, we don't complain about the refereeing in Detroit, while simultaneously bitching and moaning about the refereeing. We are in this team's head. Do what the Cavaliers did to the Heat last night. Stomp on their throats. Do not let up. Run your offense. We have the best player in this series. End it tonight. Let's go to Boston and take care of business.
Well said, Pete. And that's what great teams do. Give credit to the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I get they're facing lesser opponents, but don't play with your food. Isn't that the old phrase? Don't play with your food.
Yeah.
Eat the food and then go to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Just complete the process.
You're probably not eating good food if you're going to the bathroom right away.
That's true. How long should it take? 6 hours?
Something like that.
4 hours?
Yeah. Four to six.
Are you a morning guy or a night guy? Or a middle of the day guy? You're not a middle of the day guy.
No,
you can't be.
I'm a post-workout guy, so late morning.
Late morning guy?
Yeah.
I'm a morning guy, man. Mm-hmm. I got to get it all done in the morning. That's why when I did middays around here, I basically lived in the WFM bathroom.
Well, yeah, you used to shower in there, not sink.
And there's no shower.
Right. I made a shower. Let's go to Charles in Allenhurst. How are you, Charles?
Yo, boys, what's up?
All's good, man.
So I agree with you completely, Evan. And as Met fans, I can understand it. You can understand it. Luigi can understand it. Winning that game 4 against the Phillies, finishing it at home, something we hadn't done. I've never seen them win a series in the playoffs at home in my lifetime. But I think the biggest part of that, and I'll connect it to the Mets with the Knicks, and I know it's not perfect in similarity, but I'll just do the best I can, is if you would have lost that game, you would have given the other team momentum, and you would have been going back to Philadelphia with Zach Wheeler waiting. You had to finish it. As much as it is great to finish off the series for the fan base, letting them celebrate, feeling the vibe in the city after, it's more so about you got to finish them because you can't let them get any momentum. And they, if they win tonight, it would be their second win at the Garden in this series. They can win again. I know they haven't won in Detroit yet, but they can win Game 6 in Detroit with that momentum and come back in Game 7 and say, we beat them already more than we've lost in Madison Square Garden. So we can come back and beat them again. You got to beat them tonight. That's what this game is important
about. You're right, Charles. You hit on two very important things. When I mentioned the drought and I mentioned not closing out a game at Madison Square Garden or a series at Madison Square Garden and compared it to the Mets, what I forget as a 41-year-old is, yeah, I was young when I saw the Knicks do it, and yeah, I was younger when I saw the Mets do it, but at least I saw it. Charles is a younger fan. He don't remember 1999.
No.
And there's a lot of people in our audience who are like, yeah, that's just a story my dad tells me. That's a story my brain tells me. I don't know. I didn't experience that. And sometimes we lose perspective about that. I'm 41. Tommy's 37, 38, whatever the hell you are.
32.
Well, why do you do that?
What do I do what?
You're like one of those people who like to
lie
their age
about
down.
Your age.
What's up with that?
What am I, Bill Belichick? I'm teasing. No, I'm not. I'm 32. Do you know how old I am?
Not 32.
Okay, I'm 34.
No, forget about that. I don't really even care what your age
I'm 39.
Is. I'm more curious about why you're a serial ageist. Like, what's the deal
I'm
with that?
I'm a serial ageist?
Yeah, like you're
you
very...
really don't want to be 40.
Exactly.
I will say this.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That Peter Pan, he was onto something. And in Hook, he grew up and he became a pirate.
But I don't understand, like, Sean's not afraid of his age. Teek's not afraid of his age. I'm not afraid of his
age.
I mentioned
my age a lot. If you look like Teek at 50, I wouldn't mind it either.
All right, but then you left out me and Sean. We're ugly. Why do we not care about
our
age?
Well, I think Sean's pretty handsome, actually.
Thank you.
Okay, then you're a mess.
I don't care because I'm the youngest on the show.
Okay, then let's get to me. I'm a dog. Why do I care if I'm 41? I take pride in my age. I don't care how old I am.
No, I think you don't care about your age. Like, there's things in Evan Roberts' life that he really, really, really almost too much cares about. And like, then there's a lot of things you don't care
like
about.
I care about
season
my scorebook.
Tickets.
Season tickets. Evan, and I don't care about the way I dress.
No. I've known Evan for, 20 years. I just the other day found when your birthday is. You don't value your age
correct.
Or your birthday. So it's something that you don't care about.
No, but I guess with the age thing, maybe I do care about it. Like, I put stock in, I lay out to the audience, this is what I've seen. I haven't seen it all. I'm only 41, but I've seen a lot. I am 41.
Right.
So in comparison to Charles,
so 42 on July 11th.
Correct. I'm turning Jackie Robinson. I always go by retired numbers, so I just turned Tom Seaver. I am Tom Seaver. Before that, I was Bartolo Colon, and I'm coming up on the Big Jackie.
You sounded like I am
Big
Batman.
Jackie.
I'm Batman.
That's
Big
right.
Jackie.
The Big Jackie.
By the way, 2 weeks from today, plan the cake. Just letting you know, Ev.
Whose birthday is that?
Mine. So,
yeah. Oh, it's your birthday?
2 weeks from today. So just figure out the cake.
How old are you turning?
38.
Are you actually 38 or are you loogieing it and you're actually 50?
I'm actually 37. I turned 30.
Okay, I'll be 40 in August. Ev, when we were kids.
Oh!
When we were kids.
That's a big
we
deal.
Never celebrated.
No, but Tiki.
You never got celebrated.
No, I got celebrated, but let me just throw this out there.
You were in school.
Oh, you mean for the summer birthdays?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a crock of you know what.
That sucked.
We had to do the little munchkins, the Dunkin' Donuts thing, every summer birthday at the end of the year. Yeah. Excuse me? I'm not sharing my birthday with 17 other people.
That's funny.
But I had the same thing,
and
it never bothered me. My birthday's July 11th.
Yeah,
I didn't get
you that social. You didn't care.
And when I turned 21.
Tommy wants to be the life of the party.
Yeah, everybody turned 21 before me. I spent the whole summer not being able to go to the bars. Now,
that sucks.
When we were younger, Evan,
remember
what they said about Terry Funk. He was middle-aged and crazy. We're middle-aged now. We're 40.
So what's wrong with
that? Who the hell wants to be middle-aged?
I don't know.
It sucks.
I don't really care.
It
doesn't bother
all
me.
Right.
Sean,
I
had you aged, by the way. You're
I'm
in 32. My calendar as being born in 1984 for some reason.
84? Do you know when I interned here that the first thing Boomer said to me was good for me as a middle-aged man getting a second career? I was 22 years old. He thought I was 48.
Oh, that's amazing.
Speaking of Boomer.
So the other guys.
Do you remember about a week and a half ago, I brought my son Jed in.
Mm-hmm.
And he met Boomer for the first time. And he says to me, wow, he's old. And I said it on the air. And it was kind of funny. Like, Jed said Boomer's old. Last night, out of nowhere, Jed's like, Dad, I got to talk to you about something. I was like, yeah, what's up, son? What you got? He's like, I didn't like that you said that on the air.
Mets suck.
Oh, no.
I was like, I'm sorry. He's like, yeah, I didn't want you to say it on the air that I thought he was old. I was like, all right, I'll never do it again. But now I just said this on the air, so I think I just made the problem worse than
you did.
I just doubled down. By the way, very important. I need to get this off my chest for my own mental health. Are you ready?
Yes.
This Brooklyn Nets timeout is brought to you by Evan. You're a loser.
Yeah, I'm calling a Brooklyn Nets timeout. I need 30 seconds on the Nets. We'll have a clock, and then you cut me off, okay?
Right.
Clock. So tell me when the clock's ready.
Whenever you're ready.
I got it. We got it, so whenever you go.
Whenever I go?
Yeah, we'll start.
Whatever. Starting now.
Okay.
I don't give a damn what Giannis has done in his career. I don't care how many tickets he'll sell. I don't care about, ooh, Knicks fans will be jealous. Sean Marks, if you are listening to me, there is no way you can trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. How many great years are you going to get out of him? And how are you building a championship team around him? The Nets are the betting favorites to acquire Giannis after the horrible injury to Damian Lillard. All I could think about when Damian Lillard's Achilles fell off was how dumb Sean Marks.
Well, that was his 30 seconds. So Evan is still talking, but he only had 30 seconds.
That's it?
Therefore, he can no longer.
The Nets still in the league.
He's basically saying, go get Giannis.
No, that's not
the hapless Nets.
I didn't say that. Was that really 30 seconds?
That was 30 seconds.
Or did you cheat my time?
I did not cheat your time.
No,
I
was 30.
Went it perfectly on 30 seconds.
Evan will finish those thoughts on the Kerry Kittles tonight.
Yes, the Kerry Kittles podcast brought to you by Evan Roberts.
You agree with my assessment, though?
I 100% agree.
All right. Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Yes.
Let's go to Paul in Newark, New Jersey. Hey, Paul.
How are you guys doing?
What's up, dude?
Don't worry. The Knicks are going to close it out tonight because we have a closer, a better closer than Devin Williams, by the way.
Oh, shot taken.
Brunson's going to close it out, and we're going to win this. I don't think we're going to beat the Celtics. But we're winning this series tonight.
It's all
and
good.
Evan,
don't
I'm
worry
July
about the Celtics.
10th. So us Met fans stick together. I'm holding receipts on Pete Alonso. All these crazies that said don't sign him. He's fading. He had three bad years, 34 homers, 46 homers, 40 homers, and they didn't want to sign him. Last year they wanted to trade him. I'm glad he's doing great. I hope he gets 3 years, $40 million a year from Stevie. They should re-sign him and keep him as a lifelong Met.
I am glad you said that, because when we come back, we hear from the owner of the New York Mets. Steve Cohen was asked point blank, all right, Pete's having a great year. He clearly has an opt-out. He may opt out again. Is it possible you take care of this right now? There are some Met fans who want an extension done today. Don't let him get to free agency. We'll hear what Steve Cohen had to say. We'll give you our analysis on it. And, of course, more of your phone calls.